Well, I know what it is to be weary, to be in need of some lifting up. Oh, it's been better lately. I will say that my spirits soared on Inauguration Day. At that moment, Kamala Harris took her oath of office. And recently I spent an afternoon with a niece and nephew I hadn't seen in person in over a year. Outdoors, masked and socially distant as we were, it lifted me up. But hopeful as I am, there are still days when I can't even look at a newspaper because I'm just tired of crazy. On the COVID front, even as more and more people get vaccinated, I also hear more and more people getting COVID and having no idea how. I'm tired of this pandemic. As Shakespeare's Portia says in Merchant of Venice, my little body is aweary of this world. Amen to that, sister. The word of the Lord came through the prophet Isaiah to a people exiled, longing, heart sick, and doubting. Because in the midst of the worst circumstances imaginable, people need to hear good news. The exiled Israelites hear that God is not some petty local deity contained and controlled by, in this case, their Babylonian oppressors, but no, theirs is the God of all creation, enthroned so far above those little Babylonians and their idols, so far above the entire world that all its inhabitants look like insects to God. The Lord is exalted far above it all, far above enough to have perspective on God's whole creation, far enough away to see the big picture. While for us lowly grasshoppers, it can be hard to see past our own noses. I don't know if grasshoppers have noses, but anyway, not necessarily because we're selfish or self-absorbed, but often because we're preoccupied with life, just trying, or because we have too low a vantage point. It's hard to get a God's eye view when you're hopping around in the grass. The Israelites complained, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. And who hasn't felt that? Felt that God was distant, too distant, perhaps even too busy to attend to us, God's poor grasshoppery creatures. And yet, the same exalted creator, the one who formed the heavens and the earth, concerned only with the heavenly host. This is the Holy One who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. This is a God who gets involved with politics, though not necessarily partisan politics, I'd add. The word to the exiles in Babylon is also to us. Now, we poor schmoes may be like insects, but the presidents, the power users and power abusers of the world are like nothing to God. They're just seeds scattered in the wind. God's justice will prevail. Not that God doesn't see us, but that God sees more than we do, farther than we can. So we need to strive for a better vantage point, for a glimpse at least of what God sees past our own concerns and problems. Isn't that what inspires and drives anti-racism, all social justice work, seeing past our own noses? And since that can get exhausting, we need God's presence to strengthen and uplift us. And we find sometimes that when God seems farthest away, God is actually closest at hand. And sometimes when God seems nearest, God is also most exalted and awe-inspiring. Think of Jesus. Fresh from being proclaimed the Holy One of God by an unclean spirit, he marches into Simon Peter's house, takes Peter's mother-in-law by the hand, and lifts her off her sickbed, healed and whole and eager to be of service. Not to be a servant, by the way, but to serve, to be of use, like all the disciples. Lifting up, that raising to new life, that's powerful work, exalted God work. Intimate of settings. And after a full day and a late night of God work, Jesus goes off on his own, sneaking away before dawn so no one can find him. Yet unreachable, distant as he is, this miracle worker, he seems oddly so very human too. In need of solitude and prayer, in need of God. And when people clamor for more healing, Jesus moves on. He doesn't cure everyone. He has other towns to go to, other folks to heal. He has good news to proclaim in word and action. God with us, as close as a family home, and a sick bed, and a gentle touch, but still with the big picture in mind. It's hard to comprehend a God who is so far above us, so beyond our understanding and far beyond our control, and yet so intimately concerned with our welfare. I think that's why God chose to come to us in human flesh, as one of us, fully God and fully human. For salvation has always been from God alone. Redemption from sin has always been God's business. But in Christ, we learn once and for all that there are no lengths to which God will not go, no distance God will not travel to be Emmanuel, God with us. But God has always been with us and for us. Isaiah attests to that. Haven't you heard? Don't you get it? The Lord is the creator of the whole dang world, every bit of it. God sees the big picture and the tiniest detail. So when you're feeling too weak to stand, the Lord God will lift you up. Even the youngest and strongest have their limits. But nothing can stop those who hang in there for the Lord. Will be constantly renewed. They will soar with the grace of eagles. There's a story that I've heard told by the Reverend Otis Moss III, an African-American folktale passed down through generations, as such stories are. And I could retell it, but since we have the miracle of Zoom, I thought that we should invite Reverend Moss to tell it. So let's see where this is. I just want to make sure. Okie doke. That's
There is a story that I am told that has been passed from mouth to ear, somewhere along the Palmetto Dunes of South Carolina, a story that has been passed down from West Africa to the North Atlantic. It is the story, a unique story, of the people who could fly. Depending upon who you're talking to, it's a little bit different, depending on who is telling the tale. But the story takes place in St. John's Island, just off the coast of South Carolina. as Africans who've been mislabeled slaves are toiling in the hot sun. They're working so very hard to pick cotton. And there is one young woman there. Beside her is her small boy, maybe 6 or 7. She's working in the fields, and she has such incredible dexterity that she's able to pick cotton with her right hand and caress the forehead of her child with the left. But eventually, exhausted by working so hard in the field, she falls down. Of the weight and the pressure of being, in the words of Du Bois, problem and property. Her boy attempts to wake her very quickly, knowing that if the slave drivers were to see her, that punishment would be swift and hard. He tries to shake his mother, and as he's trying to shake his mother, an old man comes over to him, an old man that the Africans called preacher and prophet, but the slave drivers called old devil. He looks up at the old man and says, "Is it time? Is it time?" And the old man smiles and looks at the boy and says, "Yes," and bends down and whispers into the ear of the woman who is now upon the ground and says these words, "Kuliba, Kuliba." And at that moment, the woman gets up with such incredible dignity. She stands as a queen, and she looks down at her son and grasps his hand and begins to look toward heaven. All of a sudden, they begin to fly. The slave drivers are rushing over to this area in the plantation where she has stopped work, and they see this act of human flight, and they are completely confused. They do not know what to do. And as during their confusion, the old man then rushes around to all of the other Africans and then begins to tell them, "Kuliba, Kuliba, Kuliba." And when they hear the word, they all begin to fly. Can you imagine the dispossessed flying? Can you imagine the disempowered flying, 3/5 of a person flying, the diseased flying, the dislocated flying? They're all taking flight. And at that moment, the slave drivers then grab the old man and say, "Bring them back." They beat him, and with blood coming down his cheek, he just smiles at them. They say to him, "Please bring them back." And he says, "I can't." They say, "Why not?" He said, "Because the word is already in them. And since the word is already in them, it cannot be taken from them." The old man had a word from West Africa, Kuliba, a word that means God. It had been placed into the heart of these displaced Africans, and now they had dignity and they were flying. Ah, is it not the job of the church and the preacher? No, we are not called to make people shout. No, we are not called to make people dance. No, we are not called to have our bank accounts fly. No, we are called to make sure that the people of God fly. Fly from breakdown to breakthrough. They can fly from hurt to healing. They can fly from heartache to being mended to a whole person. We are called as a people to ensure that those who have been marginalized have a word in their spirit that allows them to fly. And the question is, are we a part of a church? Are we a part of a ministry that causes people to fly? Isaiah says it, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint." Yes, when the word of God is in you, we can fly.
Can we imagine the enslaved flying, the dispossessed flying, the disempowered flying? Can we imagine the sick, heartsick, the damaged, the demonized all taking flight, soaring like birds, unfettered and free? God has always been with us. But not with just us. We may feel sometimes that God is as close as our bedside or as far away as some deserted wilderness, as far above us as the heavens. We have times when we are sick and feverish, when we grow weary and faint and flat out exhausted. And yet, like Peter's mother-in-law, we have lifted up to serve, lifted up to fly even through the power of the word of God, to fly or to reach out our hand with a gentle touch, to whisper God's word or shout it. For there are many who are sick and in need of healing, many beset by demons, many powerless, hopeless. We are lifted up to serve, to soar, sometimes to stand aside and watch as others take glorious flight. Our sisters and brothers borne aloft by God's power, the word of hope in their hearts, soaring like eagles. And perhaps doing so, we may even take wing ourselves. Imagine it. Kuliba. Kuliba. And to God alone be the glory. Amen.